Our text is the Gospel reading from St. Matthew. And Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Here ends our text. If you've been a Lutheran for any time at all, you know that life is not to be lived under the law, but under the gospel. Life under the law is life under the wrath of God, life under constant accusation, a life under do this and don't do that. But don't fool yourself. No matter how long you've been a Lutheran, you can still find yourself living under the law. Living under the law begins with counting. As a youth, some of you counted grades, figured your percentages, weighed your test scores. Most of you at some time have counted calories or fat grams. You've read labels, you've added the numbers. All of us have counted dollars and cents. We started with piggy banks and moved on to bank accounts. And what's wrong with counting grades, calories, and dollars? Isn't that being responsible? Isn't that part of proper planning? Isn't that godly discipline? Yes, yes, and yes. It can be and often is helpful to count things. But those of you who are dedicated counters know where the problem with counting lurks. The problem is when you live your life under the absolute harsh rule of numbers. Your life was ruined as a youngster when the first time your grades didn't add up to an A. Your day was ruined when your fat grams were one too many. Or what's worse, you had that nothing can touch me now feeling when your dollars added up to a surplus. Sinful fallen flesh needs the discipline of the law. It can even use the discipline of counting. But when your counting becomes the basis for feeling good or bad about yourself, you've made the law your ultimate judge. And you're either heading towards despair or pride. People who grow up counters are prone to counting everything. So they count their sins. And they take the law seriously. They cannot but despair. Oh, by discipline, they may be able to stop the coarse outbursts of sin, and maybe even their sinful words, but not those thoughts. They flood their heart and mind, testifying just how foul, filthy, and lost they are. Every move they make, every breath they take, is polluted by sin. The law shows a constant stream of filth pumping out of our hearts, black and fetid as the water coming out of New Orleans 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what David sees when he says, "My sins have gone over my head." But counting sins, strangely enough, can lead to pride. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, dealt with the black stream of water pumping out of his heart this way. He said, Some may choose to call bad thoughts sin. I do not. He reduced the number of sins he had by not counting wicked thoughts as sins. Once you reduce the number of sins you can count against yourself to a number you can manage, well, then you start counting the sins of others. You know that old joke about the man and his mule heading west, and the mule was obstinate? When it stopped the first time, the man said, "That's once." The second time, the man said, "That's twice." The third time, the man pulled out a pistol and shot the mule. The wife, of course, started yelling at him for killing their only mule. The man turns to her and says, "That's once." You know, that's supposed to be a joke, but it's not funny. Why? Because we really do act that way. We count the sins of others as the merciful God says he counts our tears. We catch the sins of others in bottles and we put labels on them. They did this against us then, and they did that against us at this time. Oh, we don't do that. Oh, we don't do that. Except to those people who've really wronged us. Except to those people we know aren't sorry. But notice, when you compare Matthew to Luke, Matthew does not have the repeat sinner saying, "I repent," as Luke 17 has it. So what this text places before us are the sins of people who have hurt us and never cared about it. They've wronged us and they believe they were right. When we pray the Lord's Prayer asking for forgiveness as we have been forgiven, we are not to think of sins we've had trouble forgiving, but the ones we've forgiven easily. Here, though, we are to think of those who really sinned seriously against us, those who have hurt us and never said to us, "I'm sorry." So how on earth, how in heaven can I ever stop counting that sin against them? But if you don't, you're dooming yourself to a life under the law and maybe a death under it too. The law endlessly counts. It may start innocently enough with grades, calories, and dollars, but it moves on to sins, yours and others. And once others' sins look like logs and yours look like specks, you'll feel good about not forgiving them. Living under the law begins with our counting, but it can only be brought to an end by God's counting. Your sins against God are far more than you could ever count. David said that his sins were more than his hairs on his head. He pictured them as a mop of hair having grown so long it covers his eyes. But God counts even more than that. In Psalm 19, David admits that he's not able to count all of his sins and that only God can. The parable in our text shows our sins against God in relation to others' sins against us. But you're not going to get the benefit of this parable unless you face the fact that some people have been abused as children. Some people have been sinned against by having drunk drivers kill their families. Some people have been sinned against by being beaten black and blue or being betrayed by a spouse. So then, are such horrible sins like that only worth 100 denarii? That's 100 days' wages. No, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says such heinous sins are to be compared to 100 days' wages, or 100 days' wages, when they're compared to our sins against God, which are said to be 10,000 talents. A talent equaled 20 years' wages. So our sins against God are 200,000 years' worth of wages, compared to the sins of others against us, which are 100 days' worth of wages. This is one parable that sounds like a tale from the Arabian Nights. Fantastic sums and unimaginable grace are involved. The total tax from all of Judea during one year was 600 talents. 600 talents. Jesus has a man with a 10,000 talent debt. This is your sins against the holy God. Here is what you owe him. Here is what God finds when he counts sins. That's why we chant in Psalm 130, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? There's a display in New York that keeps track of the national debt. It spins much like our gas pumps do at these high prices. Well, the day we enter the womb, the LED display counting our sins is spinning. Hundreds of sins go by a second, thousands go by an hour, tens of thousands a day. But then God shuts the counter off. He doesn't shut it off because we stop sinning. He stops counting because there's nothing more to count. God the Father stops counting because God the Son came into the world to keep the law that we keep violating and to take responsibility for our untold number of sins. So rather than you thinking about that person who sinned against you, wronged you horribly, hurt you wickedly, you are to dwell on the debt of your sins against God that you could never ever repay. And you are to dwell on the fact that God the Son took that debt on himself. First, he kept the law, fulfilled it so that in him the Father could only see the law as being kept. The counter can't run if there's nothing to count. Second, he paid for the 200,000 years worth of sins that had already been counted against you. To be just, God the Father had to punish those sins. He would be a liar. He would break his own word if he didn't punish those sins. So he handed over his only beloved son over not to the jailers, as the text literally says, he handed them over to the torturers. All that I have ever wanted to see done to those who sinned against me, Jesus suffered. All the fear, all the shame, all the worry, we know we would suffer if anyone really found out about all of our sins. All of that Jesus endured. So, dear friend, stop, think. The law you cannot live under, the law that weighs so heavy on your mind, has been fulfilled by Jesus. God in Christ does not look at you under the law. So stop looking at yourself that way. Moreover, the punishments the law demands from those who sin but once have all been suffered, have all been endured, have all been completed by Jesus. You are forgiven. You are free. You are commanded now by God to forgive yourself for Jesus' sake. And if you can't do that, then you're commanded by God to ignore that sin, to ignore that biting conscience. The forgiveness Jesus won for you by his innocent life and death are truer, are realer, and richer than any sins you might have or even imagine you have. Living under the law begins with counting, and it ends with God counting our sins against Jesus rather than against us. That leads to our recounting God's mercy to sinners. And the first sinner we are to recount this applying to is us. With St. Paul, the one-time murderer of Christians, we count ourselves chief of sinners. But we recount that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We recount that we have been baptized into Jesus. We've been joined to him. So that what he did, we did. Where he went, we went. Where he goes, we go. God regards Jesus' keeping of the law as our keeping of the law. Jesus went into the grave, we went into the grave with him. Jesus rose from the dead, free of sin, death, and the devil, heading for heaven. We ride from the dead, heading that direction too, because we're forever joined to Jesus by baptism. So daily, we remember our baptisms. Daily we remember that we've been marked, we've been sealed for everlasting life by the sign of the cross, both upon our heads and upon our hearts. All our sins were paid for on that cross. And not just ours, but the sins of the whole world. Nobody's sins were not there. Even that person who doesn't believe they're a sinner, his or her sins were there. Even that person that sinned so sharply, so beastly against you, his or her sins were there. Jesus suffered, sighed, bled, and died for those sins committed against us. Now, if Jesus did that for those sins against us, if Jesus paid for those sins against us, if Jesus declared them finished, then what can we say but amen? See, you misunderstand this if you think forgiving from the heart is the same as being friends, or forgiving is the heart from the heart is the same as trusting that person again. Forgiving from the heart means recognizing that if Jesus paid for all sins, well, then they now all belong to him, not to me, and not to that person who sinned against me. Forgiving from the heart is not trying to make yourself not count sins against you. That's living under the law. Forgiving from the heart is recounting that God counted those sins against Jesus already. This is living under the gospel. Amen.